Good morning, everyone. And a very, very warm welcome. It's lovely and cozy in the church this morning, isn't it? I have a number of intimations, and I can't really resist sharing the best one first. A huge, huge thank you to everybody who helped with the Christmas fair yesterday. And I'm glad you're all sitting down, because the total raised was £2,467.30. So absolutely fabulous. I know it was busy, and it was such a lovely atmosphere as well. I got chatting with all sorts of different people, and I think I've got repetitive strain injury from pouring tea and coffee. But so worthwhile, and I know that everybody else worked far, far harder than I did. And so thank you, every single one of you. A few other intimations. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, down in Lanark, is the St. Nicholas Choir Christmas concert, which, as usual, Audrey is taking part in. At the same time, so you have to make a decision here, choices, in Bank Hall, there is a carol concert, which is an answer to request from the Bank Hall folk wanting a carol concert. So you can't do both, unless you can manage to be in two places at once. Monday night, the Guild Christmas party will be in the large hall at 7 o'clock. And today is the first Sunday in December, so the flower box will be available for the flower fund. There are plants at the back of the church in plastic bags. These are free to a good home. So anybody who would like to take one of the plants, which was decorating our church until this week, do please help yourself to one of them. A wee bit of tender nurturing and they'll do really well. And you will notice the fantastic decorations for Christmas in all the windows. And you might notice that they've got numbers on them. So I'm not going to tell you anything more about that this week. You'll have to come next week and I'll tell you what the numbers are all about. So I'm going to keep you on tenterhooks. We are here to worship God. God is love. And we are all God's beloved children. We can only love others because He first loved us. He pours His love into us and it overflows to others. And perfect love drives out fear. Our psalm for this morning is some verses from Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. And now, as we sing our traditional Advent carol, hymn, not sure which to call it, number 273 in the Purple Books, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and our jigsaw children will bring the characters forward and build up our nativity scene in the stable. So as we sing, Come, Emmanuel, Jesus will come forwards. Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Isn't that exciting? Because when I came into church this morning, there was just an empty stable. And now, look, we've got all the different... It's like a family, isn't it? So, who carried in the donkey? I think it was Katie. The donkey's awful heavy, isn't it? But you managed to carry it in and you put it in the stable. And who carried the cow? Andrew. Oh, muscles. You managed to carry a cow. And what came next? I'm trying to think. I think it was Mary and Joseph. And who carried Mary and Joseph in? Caroline and Jennifer. Thank you very much. That was very important people that you brought down, wasn't it? That was Jesus' mummy and daddy. Well, one of his daddies. That's where it gets complicated. And then who came next? I think we're maybe the shepherds. Who carried shepherds in? Oh, did you carry shepherds in? Because I know that you carried somebody else in. Yeah. Well done. And then the three kings. Who carried the three kings? We've got three kings sitting at the front here. Brilliant. So you're the royal people carrying the kings in.
You carried the gold.
You carried the one carrying gold. Oh, well. Because there's gold. And what comes after gold?
Frankincense.
Frankincense and myrrh. Oh, there's no flies on you, Kyle, is there? They're very complicated, yeah, but you're so used to them and you know them and you can say them so well.
I can say them, but I don't know what the meaning is.
Right, we'll go into that, will we?
Yeah.
Gold? I haven't got any gold on me. Has anybody got a gold wedding ring or anything? Anybody got a gold ring? Oh dear, no gold rings in the church. I'm starting to get worried about my jigsaw leaders. Surely somebody's got a gold ring. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you. Do you see that ring? That's gold. And that's a wedding ring and an engagement ring. So gold is a metal, and it's a very expensive, a very valuable metal. So it's often used to make rings for a wedding. And do you know why people wear a ring at wedding?
Yes, so it's a symbol to know that they are married.
It is. And the other thing it's a symbol of is that their love for each other is never ending, because the ring is a circle, so it doesn't have any ends. Yeah, frankincense and myrrh are more complicated, so we'll look at them another day.
Why not do it over Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Why don't you look in the dictionary and I'll do the same, and we'll try to find the meaning.
That's good. We will both look in the dictionary and look up frankincense.
And myrrh.
And myrrh. Have we got to do them both next Sunday? Oh, actually, we will, because we're not being church on the 16th. Right, I'll try and remember. You look up the dictionary and I'll look up the dictionary and we'll compare notes next Sunday. Yeah. That's a date,
just
Kyle.
Oh,
I think two's enough. Yeah, we'll manage. And who carried Jesus in? Yay! Because it wouldn't be Christmas without Jesus Christ in the middle, would it? He's the most important person. And did you listen to the hymn that we were singing as you brought them in? It begins, O come, Emmanuel. Now, do you know what Emmanuel means? That's a difficult word as well. It actually comes from the Hebrew. And the Hebrew language is a funny language. I haven't got it written down, unfortunately. I've got something else there. It's you write it in the opposite direction to English. And it's three words all put together. The first word, im, means with. Manu means us. So it's with us. And El means God. So the Hebrew literally translated means with us God. But in English we say God with us. And that is the miracle of Christmas, that God decided to come and be with us. And he came as a tiny baby. I had the joy yesterday of cuddling a 3-week-old baby at the Christmas fair, which was just lovely.
Let me just calculate the numbers.
Okay, can you do it quietly while I speak to everybody else? You calculate the numbers. So I was holding this tiny little baby, and she was so small she couldn't even hold her head up. She's so fragile. And as I'm walking around, I'm thinking, God came to us like that, as a helpless baby. What immense trust he put in every single one of us to invite us to be part of his family. He made himself completely helpless. So what an amazing God we have. I've got one other thing to show you today, because I've got 2 children, but I always actually secretly wanted 3. But it wasn't to be. But what I did was I started sponsoring a child. So every month I send a little bit of money, and a child somewhere in the world gets better looked after. They get clean water and they get healthcare and they go to school. And when that child reaches a certain age, and when the community they're living in can look after themselves, then that sponsorship ends and another one starts. And that just happened. And this is my new daughter, and she's called Kim Chin. See? They sent me a photograph. That's Kim Chin. So she's kind of part of our church family as well. And it tells me that Kim Chin is 8 years old, and she lives in a place called Suter Nikom in a village in northwest of Cambodia. So, I'll put Kim Chin at the front so we don't forget that she's part of our church family as well. And when I get updates about her, I'll bring them and share them with you. Let you know about my extra daughter. Okay. So, it's nearly Christmas. I know. And I thought that we might start singing Christmas carols. But before we do, we'll have a word of prayer. Have you done the calculations? Do you have an answer for me?
Every single 23rd of December or November. Mainly in my school.
Oh, right, in your school, yeah. Although sometimes the date has to vary if it's a different day of the week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think we'll come back to that one, Kyle. Yeah. Let's speak to God in prayer. Loving, living God, we thank you that you love us and trust us so much that you came as a tiny baby to become God with us, Emmanuel. And Lord, we thank you for every single member of our jigsaw who have brought all the characters to complete our nativity scene so that we can have the joy of looking at them every day throughout the Advent season. And Lord, we ask your blessing on Kim Chin as well, as she joins our church family. And let's say together the words that Jesus, once he'd grown up, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And deliver us from evil. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So it was the Virgin Mary who had a baby boy. So that's the carol we're going to sing just now. We're only having one carol today. I hope you like this one. It's a nice, lively tune. And it's what number is it? Number 300 in the purple books for those who need the book. And now we come to the lighting of the Advent candle, the first Advent candle. And in a wee change this year, we're going to have a little liturgy, some special words before the lighting of every candle. And I've asked two people to come forward and read our readings for today. The first candle that you're going to light is for hope. So let's listen to the words about hope, and then you can light the candle. And we're going to say together the words from hymn 284. So if you can't see the screen, if you look up hymn 284, we're going to say the words of verse 1. Thank you.
In churches throughout the world, on this, the first Sunday of Advent, the first candle will flicker into life, a candle of hope.
Flickering against the darkness of the world that surrounds us, this fragile flame reminds us that our journey along the road to Christmas has begun. Begun burning against the winds of the age, this candle telling us that because God has come among us, hope remains.
As we light the candle of hope, let us sing, "Hope is a candle."
We're just going to say it.
Hope is a candle,
once lit by the prophets, never consumed, though it burns through the years. Dim in the daylight of power and privilege, when they are gone, hope will shine on. Okay. You can carry on while Aaron lights.
Hope shines, hope that wars will cease and all God's children can live in peace. Hope that no child will go to bed hungry and no old person die alone. Hope that justice and truth will prevail. Is that too much to hope for?
Not if we believe in the God who came among us and surprised us as a tiny, fragile baby. Not if we believe in the God who still comes, still surprises us.
Advent, with its emphasis on hope, forces us to imagine a world beyond what we see and touch. Advent forces us to think on the world and people as God meant us to be. Thank you. And now, as the candle flame burns gently, we'll let the youngsters go out to their classes. Always seems so quiet when the children go out, doesn't it? Let's come before God in that quiet and pray. Loving, living, and eternal God, from nothing you brought forth life. From darkness you brought light, and from chaos you brought order. So we worship you, creative and loving God, as the one who brings hope. By your Son, you offer the hope of new life. By your Spirit, you offer the hope of your presence in our lives each day. Forgive us when we doubt your ability to bring change and to transform lives. Forgive us when we are slow to play our part in to play our part in the work of showing and sharing your love. Forgive us when we allow our problems to cloud out your possibilities. Fill us anew with your hope and with the confidence that you are a God for whom nothing is impossible. Give us grace and strength to be partners in your work in the world, that your hope may spread to every place where it is needed. Bless our worship. Teach us with your word and hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry. I'll now invite Bill forward to read from the Bible for us. Our first reading is from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the second from Luke's Gospel chapter 21.
How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God, Father, Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. Then from Luke 21, there will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never die. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxiety for life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. It will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and you will be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. Thanks, Bill. And our hymn before the sermon is number 721, We Lay Our Broken World.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer and our friend. Amen. Hope. Hope springs eternal in the human breast, wrote Alexander Pope, an 18th century English poet. And of course, the first part of that has become common usage. Hope springs eternal. Hope is not the same as optimism. And the main reason for that is because hope is founded in God. Our gospel reading today, the first Sunday of a new church year and the first Sunday in the season of Advent, describes the signs that will be seen when Jesus returns. This suggests to me, just as Jesus' parable spoke of the fig tree's growing leaves, that as we see bulbs beginning to grow, and that brings us hope that spring will come and is not too far away. So when horrific natural disasters, when national and political uproar, when all these dreadful things happen, they too should bring us hope that Christ will come again and that he is not too far away. Yet along with that hope, which does spring eternally in our hearts when we believe, there are three accompanying warnings. Be careful, be always on the watch, and pray. So I want to look at each of these warnings separately. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Or as Eugene Peterson paraphrased this in The Message, be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties, drinking, and shopping. Well, at this time of year, I think we'd probably all confess that we do tend to go to quite a few parties, and we'd probably all tend to shop more than usual, even if we don't all drink. Now, you'll be pleased to hear I'm not one of those party pooper ministers who thinks that Christmas should not include bright lights or carols or parties. But I do believe we need to find a healthy balance. I saw a lovely Christmas list recently, and I thought this really summed it up beautifully. Instead of buying presents, if we can be present, just be with people. Instead of wrapping gifts, wrap someone in a hug. Instead of sending gifts, send peace. Instead of shopping for food, or in addition to shopping for food, we donate food. Instead of going to see the lights, can we be the light? So let's all be careful this Advent not to be distracted from the real reason for the season. The second warning is be always on the watch. I suggest this has two meanings, and there are probably more. Firstly, I think we need to be always on the watch for opportunities to share God's love in practical ways. I realized this week that I had stopped my practice of picking up the odd bit of litter when I was out walking Jasper. In place of this, I found myself muttering under my breath about people who drop litter and fail to pick up after their dogs, and this put me in a really bad mood. When I was alerted to this in a conversation with some good friends, I realized that even if I pick up just one plastic bottle, a crisp packet, or a can, I actually feel happier. Because doing something for someone else, or doing something for God's world, without asking for thanks, can really make us happier because then we're living the gospel. Doing something positive rather than grumbling about other people can really lift our mood. The second interpretation, I believe, is that being always on the watch is about looking for glimpses of God's kingdom breaking through. It's about being in the present, in the now, rather than worrying about the future or dwelling on the past. This is a poem that was shared during my last retreat, and since Advent is all about coming, I thought this was relevant to share today. Come, explore, discover, look for all that's gift fullness in now. Don't compare, want different, as before. See the gift fullness in now. Notice small delights, God's loving fine finger work, charming the senses, the giftfulness of now. The slower pace, work released, no expectations, enjoying the love poured into the gift of now. And thirdly, the warning is to pray. And this is the best way, in my experience, to be aware of that hope springing eternally in our hearts. Taking time to be alone with God, pouring out our hearts to him, and then listening and enjoying the love that he is constantly pouring into the gift of now, the present. During my week's retreat, I explored many different ways of praying, including walking, playing with clay, drawing, painting, reading. Because you see, faith is very similar to being in love. When we are in love with someone, being with them is so special. Whether we're just sitting on the sofa cuddling, or going out for a meal or a walk, dancing together, even cutting the grass together, it's the fact that we're together that makes all the difference. And the same is true with God, with Jesus. Paul, as he was writing to the church in Thessalonica, refers to this. He writes, thanking the people in Thessalonica, and asks, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" It's a bit like the joy of families gathering together to celebrate Christmas, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, baptisms. When a family who love each other are together, that love is multiplied and brings joy to everyone. We saw a bit of that yesterday as our church family gathered with so many other people at the Christmas fair. There was such a wonderful atmosphere. And I have to say that as I was pouring out tea and coffee, I thought of God pouring out his love. And Paul prays that he will be able to visit Thessalonica again, and also prays for the church there, and I'm sure it applies every bit as much to us. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I love this image, and I don't have an image for this one, but the word image of God pouring out so much love into our hearts that it overflows. And you see, that requires no effort at all on our part. We simply have to be open to it, to be channels of God's peace and God's love. And Paul's second prayer, may he strengthen in your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is again asking God to act in our lives. We're not expected to do anything in our own strength, in our own weakness, rather to allow God to work in us. Along with all the rest of you, I received a Christmas card from the church this week, or it was last week probably. But in it the words are, let every heart prepare him room. And that is my prayer. For then hope will spring eternally in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, and our community, whatever happens. Remember those horrific signs that Bill read for us from Luke's Gospel? They are the signs of Christ and his kingdom coming closer. So they inspire us to hope. We just need to be open, be careful, be always on the watch, and of course, pray. Amen. Let's now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. We don't have any children in church now today to be giving out the prayers, but I'm very grateful to Bill and Miriam for standing in as our children. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives, that you chose to come into this world as a tiny, helpless baby, to demonstrate the depth of your love for us. And we thank you that you continue to pour that love into our hearts until it overflows, so that we can always have hope, whatever comes. Lord, from our grateful hearts, we bring these our offerings. We come to worship you and pray to you, and we live our lives for you. And we ask you to receive all these and use them for the growth of your kingdom here and forth and throughout the world. For Jesus' name, amen. Our next hymn, Behold the Amazing Gift of Love, I love the words of the last verse, which kind of describes what we're speaking about today. A hope so great and so divine, may trials well endure and purge the soul from sense and sin as Christ himself is pure. Let's stand and sing, "Behold the amazing gift of love." Just before we come before God in prayer, I realise there's two intimations I omitted to share earlier. The first is I just received a letter from St Andrew's Hospice thanking us very much for a donation of £65 towards the St Andrew's Hospice. I'll put that at the back. And also to let you know that The Haven are having their Christmas fair this Friday from 10 till 3. It's lovely that we can work together. They always come to me and check the date of our Christmas fair so that we don't coincide. So I would encourage you to support them. They've got lots of activities for children and adults. That's this Friday in The Haven, 10 till 3. Let's now come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, you are the giver of hope. And you constantly surprise us with your creativity and your goodness. Because you are a God who brings change, even in unlikely circumstances, we have a basis for hope. Thank you for the promise of Advent, which enables us to prepare our hearts, knowing you can bring change and hope to the world through the coming of your Son. Hear us as we pray for ourselves and others today. We pray for people living in situations where hope seems foolish, for those trapped in refugee camps or surviving in conflict zones, for those affected by extremes of weather or variations of climate, for those denied freedom and justice and opportunity. Lord, bring change and help us to be part of that change so we may be the bearers of your hope. We pray for our church. As a new church year begins, bring us encouragement that you have a plan for your people and that you are a God of surprises and new beginnings. Give us the hope we need to inspire us for the work and the worship which lies before us. Be with those who worship where it is challenging or dangerous to do so. And Lord, we pray for ourselves and for our families. Where there is need for your hope to reignite our faith, remind us of your ability to bring change, to fill us with your love until it's overflowing. To those who are troubled, bring peace. To those who are ill, bring healing. To those who are sad, bring comfort. And as Advent begins, we bring our personal prayers to you for the people and the situations we know where your hope, your change is so much needed. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives always, and particularly this Advent time. Amen. And let's stand and sing our closing hymn, All My Hope in God is Founded. It's hymn 192 in the Purple Books.
Oh,
as we go out into the world, into the week ahead, and into the season of Advent, may we all be fully aware of hope springing eternal within our hearts through Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain upon each and every one of us, today and forevermore.